I'm Derek.
And I'm Noah. You're listening to A Bite Of,
where we take our current favorite pop culture obsession and enjoy it one nibble at a time.
I hope.
At a time.
At a time.
Mm-hmm. Okie time.
Yeah, this is like the number one thing that we should be doing.
Oh my gosh. And then we're going to go back to season one.
Yeah.
And I've...
Yeah. It's a loop.
We're in the TVA.
I hope you all have your hot chocolate ready, your hot cocoa. Get your pruning sticks ready. We're in the fourth episode of Loki. We're over the second act.
Two thirds.
This one, it really continued the tradition of the number four episodes in these MCU shows of having that thing that everybody's going to be talking about. And this one, I feel like outdid a lot of the other ones.
This one had a literal jaw-dropping moment. My jaw literally dropped.
You know what would make our jaws drop?
Tell them.
Well, one, we're on our way to 200 reviews on Apple and Spotify. So if you haven't thrown some stars our way, just go do that real quick. And then also follow us on all socials. We're on Twitter, not calling it X, or on all the other ones. So go do that. And then, of course, make sure you're subscribing. That way you get the episodes first. First.
Please do. It would be muchly appreciated.
Okay, so we have to get into it. Refresh our memory of last week.
All right, so taking a look back at Loki Season 2, Episode 3, 1893. Take it back. 1893. Renslayer and Miss Minutes drop off a package to a young Victor Timely. Loki and Mobius track down adult Timely at the 1893 World's Fair, where he shows off a wondrous new invention that turns out to be a dud. Sylvie joins the fight on a Ferris wheel, where they spill out and go on the run. Timely drops Renslayer off in the middle of the lake, and Miss Minutes tries to make a move. Just when Sylvie has the opportunity to end Timely's time, she has a change of heart and heads to the TVA. She delivers Renslayer a slam to the stomach, sending her to the end of time. Timed.
Ooh, very nice.
Timed.
Horny Miss Minutes, R.I.P.
Oh, yeah. That lady, she was all like, look at these hands. Now look at these hands.
Here is your final warning for spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get pruned and don't prune us for spoiling it for you.
We've warned you.
Go watch it and then come back.
Yeah. So let us officially take a bite of Loki Season 2, Episode 4, The Heart of the TVA.
Ooh, explodey.
You're talking about hearts. Who's the emotional center of the TVA? That's what this episode's about.
Casey.
Oh, our little angel Casey.
Mm-hmm. Casey.
Oh, boy.
All right, so this, let's set the opener. Because I feel like we have some things to talk about with this opener. So we get the answer to what Miss Minutes said to Renslayer in the last episode, saying, I have a secret and you're not going to like it. It's going to make you real angry. It was what we were theorizing, right? That at some point, Renslayer and He Who Remains were closer. And from what we see in this visage, this not so much actual footage, but something that Miss Minutes constructs herself.
It looks like a playset of some sort.
Tangible footage.
Yes.
But it shows He Who Remains and Renslayer, who is in like a, you know, general's outfit. It's not very much what she was wearing as a judge, but something else. We find out that she helped win the Multiversal War. She played a big part in it. And he's like, oh, I'm going to meet you at the TVA for all time, always. I'll meet you there. I'll be there. Just go. And then he executes order. Was it Proclamation 42, 44, Order 66?
That's Route Star 66.
Wars. That's Star Wars. I'm not sure, but wipes all their memories of the Multiversal War. I'm very confused on this, but do you believe her?
At first, when I saw this, I was like, oh, we knew it. Oh my gosh, that He Who Remains, he's quite dastardly. And then after I thought about it for a bit, I was like, but Miss Minutes is an unreliable narrator, so I don't trust her.
She's a sociopathic narrator.
I mean, listen, we all have our quirks.
No.
As much as I love Miss Minutes, I do not trust her at all. And you know, the question is, what is Miss Minute's ultimate goal here? Is it to just get with Timely? Is it to rule with He Who Remains, even though he's gone?
I think the biggest thing that she wants, and I'm not necessarily answering for you, but I'm just saying that, like, is a body.
Mm.
But she also loves him in her own weird way. But I know she wants a body, so I don't know exactly what Renslayer and Miss Minutes are planning at this moment. It's, you know, we don't need him. Let's run the TVA ourselves. I don't know. I now, especially after this episode, I have no idea what they're going to do.
Yeah, it just seems like Miss Minutes is using Renslayer any way she can to get what she ultimately wants, which we don't know. But Renslayer...
It's a body.
She wants to get a body so she can kiss him on the mouth. But Renslayer at this moment just wants revenge.
Right.
Right. She got dumped in the lake. She got left behind. She got thrown through the door. So she's just pissed.
Ugh, what about the opener? It was like we were getting the Marvel logo. We were getting the fanfare. And then it just cut real short. They were like, no. We don't got time for this.
We don't have time.
No.
We're at almost an hour. Okay. We got to cut it. There isn't enough.
I am loving that these episodes are longer than what we've typically been getting from these MCU shows, especially later into the episodes. By now, we would be getting like 40-minute episodes, and that's not including credits.
Yeah, was it like Secret Invasion towards the end was like 22 minutes? Yeah. Like that. I mean, I'm being dramatic, but
yeah,
it did get shorter towards the end.
It very much did. I am so happy that Victor Timely actually did go to the TVA. It was a cool visual. Last episode, I was like, I'm just going to be excited for the visual of like Victor Timely in the TVA. And it was cool.
Mm.
I also don't understand the like way time doors work, I guess, because he came in there first and then the time door closed. But like the scene we saw when they walked through it, Mobius and Loki went like right behind him, but then they showed up a little later. So I guess time works differently, but that was one of the things where I was like, he went in first. Where is he going to go?
Yeah.
So he got time to explore a little bit.
Yeah. Apparently, we don't know how the tech works. I mean, even time doors can go in the holding cells. Maybe if you have an override passcode or something like that.
That's Miss Minutes. She can do whatever she wants.
I mean, she really is the supreme ruler of the TVA.
Or she could be.
She should have been.
No, I don't. I don't like that at all. I really don't like it. So we get our main focus this episode. There's two things that are happening. We have General Dox and her rebellious Minutemen that are in the holding cell, included with Brad Wolf. He's still in there. And then we have our new group. Actually, our whole cast of characters are trying to fix the loom because we're now seeing, because we were out of the TVA so long, we're seeing that it's like, it seems like it's about to break. It's getting to its breaking point. Everything's falling. Power keeps going in and out. So we have two main problems. Do you want to talk about Dox before we get
sure
to the other stuff?
I do want to say the way that they shot these Dox scenes was really phenomenal. They placed her in the middle. Like there's the whole part where her and Brad are going at it, and she is sitting in the chair. She's not facing the camera. She's facing the side of the room. He's to the right of her. It just looked so good.
Mm.
I just think that the whole staging, the design of these scenes really kind of put Dox pitted against people. And really, she just stayed in one place, which was so cool. But yeah, these scenes, it gets brutal.
I liked that we got a Judge Gamble. I believe she's a judge. She had judge outfit.
Yeah, she's judge.
Okay, she's judge. Sorry for my three episodes of calling Dox a judge. She's not. But we get another Gamble scene with B-15. And I'm very excited that Misako got more screen time because we've only really been hearing her or for like 2 seconds in an episode. I still feel like she needs to be more shown. Like she's taken almost a backseat in this season.
She just keeps walking in and out of rooms and reacting to things. That's really all she's been doing.
She's great at it.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we see in this episode, she walks into a room and sees something horrific. And I believe that she saw something horrific.
But I have to ask, her reaction to Brad and Doc's forehead touching, or the cube, which one had a more visceral reaction?
Very good question. Both evenly disturbing, I think, for B15 and for all of us.
So when Renslayer and Miss Minutes come into the holding cell with them, after B15 talked to her, Gamble was like, hey, you change my mind, you can change their mind. And I feel like she was getting to Docs, right? Docs was almost questioning it. Like, I don't really like care for B15, but she has integrity and I appreciate that. And I like characters like that where no matter what, if they don't like the character or not, their honor and their code is held higher above anything else. Mm. So I like that she saw that with her. But then, of course, Miss Minutes and Renslayer just come into the room and they're like, hey, who wants to join us? Acting very innocent. Why did they keep that torture device in the room? Why did they just left it?
I'm sorry. In the last episode, two episodes ago, Loki was like fumbling with it. They needed the other piece. They left the entire thing intact in the room. That was really a bad decision.
Granted, Miss Minutes did turn it on, so I feel like she has like the phantom switch to everything, but still, maybe you shouldn't have left the torture device in the room with a group of people.
You know, not that I need to question these things, but how does it know how many people are in the room? How big the cube needs to be?
Miss Minutes, she can calculate that in two seconds.
Oh my gosh, she's too much. She's just too much.
So fucking Brad, nasty, nasty Brad, is like, I'll join you. I feel like he knew he didn't have a choice. He was backed into a corner and he's like, oh, the promise of going onto my own timeline. Sure, of course, I'm going to go with that. But he just watched all of his comrades literally get smushed.
Yeah. Well, if we think about Brad, right? They went out to find Sylvie. He left them. He lives his own timeline. Loki and Mobius get him. They break him. Mm. He leads them right to Sylvie. Then Renslayer comes in again. He's just an opportunist.
That's true.
He's willing to throw anyone under the bus as long as it saves him. And he literally lets his mom, wife, lover.
We will best never friend. Know.
Yes, we will never know, which I think will forever be my greatest fury with Loki, that we will never know what was going on.
I really don't want to.
I want to know.
I just want to smush it and leave it.
No, no, I want to know. And I mean, we won't know. But anyway, they obviously have a connection and he didn't care.
No.
Because he's all about himself.
And no, not at all. So I loved how they showed this scene, right? We didn't, the horror fan in me wanted to see it. I wanted to see the group of people getting smushed. I know that sounds weird, but like me, I'm like, oh, they didn't show it. But I liked how they did show what they did show. It just focused on their faces. We didn't really get so much screaming. We did hear a little like smooshy sounds.
Yeah, we heard smushing.
But B-15's face when she saw the carnage in there, what do you think she saw? Do you think that she saw like a cube? Like, you know, that was just like red, you know, because it was smushed? Or like, did she see, what do you think she
saw? House of Usher.
Yeah.
Melted people.
Speaking of, our part two of covering the fall of the House of Usher comes out next week.
Yeah.
Whenever you're listening to this. By the time you're listening to it, maybe it's already out. So
after.
Yeah.
After we record this. But so that's a very good question. And I'm actually very surprised at the TVA because in the first season, we saw so much that their types of torture are you reliving horrible moments of your life and being locked in a room or being time twisted.
Like a time theater or a time twister.
Right. And so for them to have this other form of torture that actually kills you, not even prunes you, kills you.
Oh, yeah.
Seems so unlike them.
I do want to, I mean, so Kate Herron isn't here anymore, the original director. And they're like, you know what? We're going to like make this a little darker.
Yeah.
And they did, because that's a good distinction between the two, is pruning is one thing. Like, granted, they didn't really know what happened when you pruned things, but we do now. And it's like, well, at least you might be able to survive there. This, you don't go to the void.
This is just dead.
You're dead.
Yeah. So, and I think by the look of horror on her face, seeing a floating red cube, I don't think would elicit that. I wonder if after the deed is done, it just opens up and the TVA cleaning crew has to come in.
That's why the floor had grates on it.
You know what? Very good point. Bones, right. Just bones.
On to a more, I guess, happy or more levity in this. Victor Timely and Obi meeting for the first time.
I felt like I was at a library conference and I was watching librarians meet authors. It was the cutest thing. And also, I think Sylvie was really rude and should have let them sign each other's books. And also, the adorableness of Casey just behind Obi holding his own copy, like, maybe I can get mine signed too.
He's seeing the person that his person looks up to.
Yes.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
Casey, this whole episode was basically Obi's shadow.
Oh, yeah.
Like anything Obi said, he would just be like, yeah, and it's going to be bad. He just like was mimicking everything. It was just adorable.
I loved it. The thing to point out in this conversation, though, is that Obi says, well, one, Obi was like very on the nose and was like, Ouroboros, you know, like eating one's tail. It's like, we got it. We know that was a little heavy handed. But the thing to remember from this, right, is he says that Victor Timely is the one that he worked with to create the official guidebook. Although R. Timely didn't know that.
Mm.
So it piques some very interesting questions about what possibly is happening. I feel like theory time. Let me do a theory, a little tiny theory. And I have more theory coming up. Ouroboros, this whole season, we've already gotten closing of loops. We know what's happened. Like he went into the future. We've seen that loop closed. It's all happened before.
Mm.
It could happen again, but I feel like since He Who Remains knows what he's doing a lot of the times, maybe possibly he's done this before. Like he got somebody else, a different Loki, had them go through it. It didn't work. Prune them, got another Loki. I don't know, but it is interesting that our Victor Timely doesn't know about it, but Obi is like, no, Victor helped me write this.
Ooh. Well, when he first gets there, there's some confusion for Victor. He's saying, so I've done this, but I haven't done it, but it's not me. I've been here before. And they're trying to explain it to him. And it is confusing.
Right.
And, you know, we've talked a lot about the area in the TVA where Obi works or exists. And everybody keeps getting turned around down there. So there's something even about that space where you turn and you end up somewhere you didn't know you were going to be. So Obi kind of just exists in this very mysterious area of the TBA, and he himself is mysterious. So there's more to uncover about Mr. Ouroboros.
Well, the biggest one that happened this one, I think it was Mobius, two episodes ago, where he was like, oh, I didn't mean to walk this way. And in this one, when everything's happening and our three, you know, guidebook lovers are trying to fix the device that Obi had made, putting it with Victor Timely's, what is it, throughput multiplier, his device, they're geeking out. And so Mobius is like, you want some key lime pie? Mm-hmm. Sylvie loses it. She loses her mind because she's like, you want pie in a situation like this? Mm-hmm. This is why the TVA doesn't give a shit about what's happening, because all you want is pie. She doesn't seem like she wants pie. But she ends up in the automat. Who's not there? Mobius. So it's very interesting that she even says, I didn't mean to come here. How did I get here?
Mm-hmm.
What's with the pies?
What's with the pies? So I was trying to look at the posters that are hanging behind Sylvie and Loki during this scene in the automat. And so one of them is about bringing your own cup.
Mm.
Okay, for like the cocoa machine or whatever. The other one, I was trying to read it. It's about the pie.
Oh.
And across the top of the poster, I'm pretty sure it says one slice a week.
Mm.
As if when you're at the TVA, you have to have one slice of pie a week.
Hmm. Interesting.
To do what? I don't know. Erase your memory, keep you stable in the TVA.
Well, we know that Victor. Oh my God. There's so many variants now. He Who Remains erased everybody's memory, right? At some point, Loki even went back prior to the memory being erased maybe he implemented the key lime pie thing to kind of, I wonder if there's like a property in it where whatever He Who Remains doesn't want somebody to remember or something, it automatically kind of wipes that, but doesn't wipe everything, right? Because if once a week they're getting the memory wiped, people are going to be walking around like, I don't know what I'm doing half the time. So I wonder if there's some property in there where it's doing it specifically for a reason, because the gods can't even use their powers, right? So I think the tech is limitless at this point in this show, but I am very curious to find out what the pie is. Or does the pie not even matter? Is it something like the telephone from the first episode where when Loki finally picks it up, it's just Obi? And it's like, oh, okay. It like subverted expectations. It's like, it wasn't really that big of a deal once we found out what it was.
It just made it creepy in that first episode. The ring. Yeah. The key lime pie could mean nothing or it could mean something, but I do, you know, like the fact that it's so green, I feel like there's other properties to it. The fact that, you know, Loki and Sylvie's magic is green. Is there magic in the pie? I don't know, but I do think that at the Marvel campus in Disney, they should start selling the green key lime pie.
Well, they already have the recipe out. They put a recipe out for it.
Delightful.
I think they even said, though, if you want it green like the show, you have to add some food dye.
Well, I mean, we've made key lime pie before, and it's just like a yellow.
Yeah.
So
it's not green.
Space key lime pie is green.
So the conversation before we leave the automat and our memories get wiped, there's a conversation that Sylvie and Loki have here that I really, really enjoyed, because we got a little bit when he went to McDonald's, but we haven't had some of these big conversation moments like we did in the first season between these two. And I feel like this one's important because Loki is almost having a conversation with himself, right? It's two versions of himself. One believes one way, one believes the other. It's like you can't have free will and then, or give free will and then not do anything, or vice versa. But I love this conversation because it shows Loki's character development or his growth as a character, because he talks about how annihilating is easy. Just completely leveling everything is easy, but rebuilding something that's broken is hard, and hope is hard. That doesn't sound like our Loki that we had in Avengers.
Yeah, and if you think about it, Sylvie is Loki of the past. Sylvie is very much like the Loki that we once knew, acting on emotion, being brash, jumping into things, not really thinking things through. And now we have our Loki, who's like mature older brother. He's experienced some life. He's had some deep conversations with Mobius. He just sees the world very differently. And he does. He has some key phrases here. He says, trying to fix what's broken is hard. You can't give people free will and just walk away.
Right.
It seems like he is now one with the way of the TVA.
Well, and he, you know, she says something like, you know, that makes it like that would make you God. And he's like, we are gods.
He
like,
said, Mama,
like, did you forget? And to be fair, she got taken when she was younger and she's been running ever since. So I'd give her the benefit of the doubt that she forgot that she was a god.
I mean, she's fantastic. Yeah. She needs to remember that. Hello, the Ferris wheel. Did we all forget that already?
Mm.
And even, you know, her mind melding powers, she just is so powerful. And it's interesting that as a god, she would forget that and not realize that playing God, well, we are the gods.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that it is an important conversation to have, because it seems like very much in this episode, and there's a lot of conversation online that, oh, Loki is probably going to be He Who Remains. He's going to run the TVA. How do you feel about that?
While watching the episode, I did get that feeling. He felt very in charge. He was giving me full-on boss energy. I mean, the only other person in my mind that could run the TVA would be Mobius, right? He stays behind. He knows the place, or maybe, you know, B-15 or something like that. But it does feel like Loki is taking charge of the place. And so I could see why people are feeling that way. What about you?
I don't like it. I just personally, I don't want that for that character, right? I love Loki, the Loki we have. but I like more of the anti-hero Loki, right? And it's like, we're getting a good Loki and he's doing something really good, but I want him to be able to do the things that is in his nature to do. He is mischievous. He should be able, you know, to do that, because what if he is he who remains and he's sitting in the Citadel and he gets bored? Is he going to change his mind again? So I almost want it to go to somebody that doesn't necessarily want the job, because you know that saying of like, the best leaders are usually the people that don't seek to be a leader. Give it to Casey. I think Casey would be great.
Casey would be great. He's very even-tempered. He knows everything that goes on there. I do think, though, that if the Loki show continues, it would make sense that Loki might be the leader, but it wouldn't be in the sense that we know it as He Who Remains. I think he would be going on time adventures.
Yeah, but then I guess it would only be until we get Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars, because then this whole thing is supposed to be about the multiverse and like that war. So like, what does that even look like? So I think those are like bigger questions that are good to keep in mind. I'm personally not for Loki taking over, but I guess I don't even know what that looks like. So I'm open to the suggestions.
That's lovely. I mean, I feel like we all thought Loki was dead. So the fact that we get Loki, who's That's more true. Mature and who is leading an agency, well, kudos to you and we're proud of you.
Well, we did get a small little scene of him and Sylvie being able to do their trickster-ness in this. So Miss Minutes and Ravonna and Brad are teaming up. They enchant Brad to get to Ravonna and Miss Minutes because they're in the TVA. They're locking them out. Even though they got the aura, they can't do anything because they've locked them out completely. So they enchant Brad. And I love the way that he walked in there, because it was them controlling it. And he's just like, hi, let me talk to you real quick.
He's like, oh, this looks cozy or whatever he said. Yeah, he was like, the actor that's portraying Brad did such a good job, but just making the distinction of between regular Brad and Sylvie controlled Brad. I really love that.
It's fantastic. And prunes Ravonna. Bye-bye. I don't feel bad for her.
I feel bad for Renslayer, which is funny. I don't like Renslayer at all. And I feel like she kind of got what she deserved, right? She's trying to be real sneaky slimy throughout this whole episode. So yes, her getting pruned and the, you know, quote, good guys winning, I appreciate. But as the character of Renslayer, who was so strong in the first season, to see her become basically a pawn in other people's games is kind of bothersome for me. I feel like she's been manipulated by Miss Minutes. She's been manipulated by Timely. And so it's just kind of like, she was so strong and now she's kind of just being thrown around from person to person.
Well, she doesn't know that. Right. And I think that's a good distinction for us to know that, like, she doesn't know she's being a pawn in a lot of the stuff. She did find out about Timely or He Who Remains. I'm getting them all mixed up now. Oh, my God. When we get a lot of them, it's over.
How are we? They better say what their names are, so we're not just like screaming Kang, Purple Kang.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm interested to see where she goes from here, because Mobius tried to get to her and tell her, hey, just let's work together. She got double crossed and then double crossed again and then got pruned. So she's going to be in the void. I don't know what that looks like now. Is Eliath awake? Is Eliath eating things now? Is he still enchanted? I don't know. But she's going to have trouble getting back, because Miss Minutes is rebooted.
They shut her down.
Shut down. The scene with her going to the different versions of herself, but telling Victor, you'll never be him. But like, look zombified. Oh, so yeah. Good.
And it was so funny, because like in the beginning of the delivery, she's like, I just have one thing to tell you, like all cheery still. And then she went through everything. She's like, you'll never be him. I was like, oh, no.
She, in these last two episodes, has gone through so many different archetypes. She went from horny to completely sociopathic, just enjoying watching these people getting smushed. I did like the way she looked, and she was like,
she was so excited. She couldn't wait for it to happen.
Now this like even more analog clock, zombie clock to being put offline.
The analog clock felt like that's what she originally looked like when he first designed her.
100%.
Right? She was just the clock function on his temp pad.
Yeah.
And then she became something else.
Yeah.
What are we going to do without Miss Minutes? That can't be the last of Miss Minutes.
No, I don't think so. She still wants a body. Renslayer's going to come back. It's not right. They just rebooted her. I don't think they necessarily even took her offline. They just rebooted her so she has some downtime. Mm. She's going to come back, but I don't know what she's going to come back to.
Very good question.
We have a couple more big things in this episode, but I want to talk about the hot chocolate. We got to talk about the hot chocolate, right? So whatever, everything's happening. They're putting this stuff together and he wants hot chocolate. And so I'm so sorry. I still should have looked up this guy's name. He is the hunter that pruned Mobius in the first season. I don't know his name. He's very nice. He's been working with B-15.
Guy Hunter.
The Guy Hunter.
The Guy Hunter.
But they go together to get some hot chocolate because he sees Mobius drinking it. And it interested him a lot, which was odd.
I have to admit, I took my eyes off the screen.
Great.
When the hot, so when I looked up, the hot cocoa was in the hunter's hands and he was so excited to buy it. I was like, what did Timely do to it? So I rewound it and he did nothing to it.
Nothing.
I was like, I don't understand this scene.
I think so. Here's what I think.
Yeah.
At first, when I first saw it, I thought it was a scene of them showing us like this variant of Kang, this variant of He Who Remains is good.
Kindness.
He just wants hot chocolate. He's like a normal dude and he's sharing it with this guy and they have a nice moment and that guy gets pruned. And then later we get spaghettified Victor.
Spoiler alert.
So that's what I thought at first, but it was odd. Like there was something about it in the way that Victor Timely acted with like the machine and the coffee. He never took a sip of it, which was interesting. So I don't know. There's key lime pie and hot cocoa. It's going to come. Like we're going to hopefully figure it out, or we're just never going to know. Just like we'll never know what happened with Dox and
why Brad. Are they making these very bizarre things happen and not telling us anything about them? I mean, unless
we have
it's
more episodes.
Something to say that there's just like kind of these weird glitches or something that's happening. I don't know. It was so bizarre and there was no explanation, but hoping within these next two episodes, we get some answers.
Nope. Not for hot chocolate watch.
Hot chocolate, key lime, anything. Maybe we'll see a timeline where Dox and Brad fell in love or
absolutely
something.
Absolutely not. I don't know.
Let
I don't,
Kate Dickie have a romance.
She can. Brad doesn't deserve it. Like, I think that's also where's Brad? He just kind of got unenchanted and he's in the TVA somewhere.
He's just like,
yeah,
dancing.
So before we get to the big explosive climax of this episode, we have the closing of the loop with the first episode. Mm. We know who pruned Loki.
Loki.
There's three Lokis in one area. Loki pruned Loki. Doesn't tell Sylvie what why. He's like, it will make sense
it'll
later.
Make sense, don't worry about it.
Yeah, and we find out who's on the phone. I will say that like they knew we and everybody in the world would be talking about that phone because the amount of time it took Tom Hiddleston to answer that phone, I was like, can you just answer it?
And then they have the nerve to be impatient with OB.
Yeah.
They're like, just reset it or whatever they say. Yeah. I'm like, how dare you?
Yeah.
This man is holding everything together by a thread and you're giving him attitude?
Well, I still don't. I don't know about OB, so I'm going to let it slide. But if OB's fine at the end, then I'm going to get mad at them for getting impatient with him.
I think that they should apologize anyway, especially if he's some sort of supreme being.
Yeah.
They should make nice.
There was a theory. And I just want to say this. I don't think it's true, especially now, but there was a theory that said that the timekeepers originally, like the people that are to make the TVA run, was Obi, Renslayer, and He Who Remains. And then they just made them somebody else. And so that's why each three of those are interesting as a character. Like they know more than everybody else, but I don't think that's true. But I think it's an interesting theory.
That is cool. That is cool. Well, if you think about it, right? What they once thought were the rulers of the TVA, those three beings, there were three of them. So that, right?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It makes sense. Yeah. I kind of get it.
Yeah. I mean, I think after these couple episodes, maybe not, but I guess we'll see.
Miss Minutes erased him from that little play that she put on earlier in the episode. She erased Obi.
You know, I just, before we get to that scene, I wanted to make sure I called out this scene because I really liked it. I loved the scene of when Victor Timely sees his face that isn't his face all on the walls in the judge's room when he sees all of them. I thought it was a really powerful shot. It's like not him, but it's him. And it's like, what is he walking into? How does he live up to that? Should he be that? Should he not be that?
How are you the person that exists in a place that you didn't even know?
And is like well beyond your understanding.
You created all of this and you're just learning about it.
Whoa. Time travel stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. So the ending of this episode. So they finally, supposedly, put everything together. And the entire time they're like, is this going to work? Obi's like, theoretically, I haven't tested it.
They got the big thing and then they put the small thing in the big thing and they got the suit. They're so ready.
They got Victor Timely's device and they have Obi's device. And it's supposed to essentially make the rings bigger, make the apparatus bigger to handle all of the flow of the new branches. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that works, where it's technically going to shoot, but
yes. Yeah. And I don't know. What does it shoot? How does it make rings bigger? These are questions we shouldn't be asking, honestly.
I want to say, I'm curious if it has something to do with the quantum realm, because the quantum realm was very like big, small, small, big. I don't know.
You know what I remember about that movie? How big the ants were.
Yeah.
That was great.
Were they at their normal size and our people were smaller?
Probably that. But what I'm saying is that they looked big. It was like, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah.
That's all I retain from that movie.
I have some stuff about Ant-Man coming up. So funny that you bring that up. So weirdly enough, Victor Timely decides to be brave at this moment. It's curious. I'm not saying he can't be, but it's curious for a confidence man, con man, to be like, it's my turn. I'm going to do this. Let me be brave. But he was so excited to go to the TVA. And then he's like, let me do it.
Mm.
It was interesting.
Is there an argument, though, to go along with what you were saying when he sees his but not his face plastered on the wall, being like, I am not great, actually. This other version of me is great, and I need to live up to that in this moment.
Well, that's sad. I do feel like this Victor is good. I feel like this is one of the variants that is good, and it's not Kang, it's not He Who Remains, it's not any of the other Council of Kangs that we've seen. I do feel like he's good, and I want to believe that. I feel like he is a pawn just as much as Renslayer has been, if not more.
Mm.
Because He Who Remains planned everything from Sylvie and Loki in the first season. He told Sylvie, I'll see you soon. I'm going to be back. Reincarnation. The whole thing with time loops.
He Who Remains could have programmed Miss Minutes to get to Renslayer and have them drop the book off to Timely in this part. Like, he could have planned this entire thing.
Could have.
And they're all just pawns.
Yeah.
What a fool. But I do like to think that even He Who Remains, when he first began, maybe he was good as well. But then as he realized that they were more and more and more of him, he needed to rise to power and became some sort of evil.
Who, He Who Remains?
Yeah.
Maybe. Awesome. I mean, I think the thing that makes Kang interesting and also very confusing is that he messes with his variants and his past to make himself the best one in that timeline. But our He Who Remains, our Kang that we've met, doesn't want any other Kangs because then the multiversal war is happening. So then why mess with another variant unless it's just to get him back at the Citadel, but it's not going to be really him. So I think it's very odd. We still haven't met. There's a thing in the comics with Kang where there's a prime Kang. So out of all of the timelines, all of the Council of Kangs, this is the Kang. And I don't think that we've met him yet.
Ooh.
I don't think that the Kang that we met in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, I said the whole title for some reason, is Prime Kang because of what happened to him.
So at the end of this season of Loki, it's going to zoom out a little more and there's going to be another Kang.
Yeah.
Who's just watching them going, just you wait.
And eating an apple.
Two apples. Yeah.
So Victor Timely heroically is going to go do this thing and he gets turned into spaghetti.
Mama, this man took one step outside and immediately
he was ready.
Exploded.
He was ready.
That was my jaw dropping moment. I said, excuse me. I was like, I was by myself. I was looking around. I was like, anyone? And just me? It was just me. I couldn't believe it. I was not expecting that at all.
And I feel like we needed this, right? I feel like
we needed a good explosion. You're right.
Well, I think I don't mean to like be like any type of way, but I feel like the MCU needs stuff like this, right? Death. Those things that death, spaghetti, people, spaghetti.
Yeah.
No, but needs the things that like aren't expected, right? Mm-hmm. Needs the things mm-hmm. that like makes this crazy, makes us like, holy shit, I can't wait until next week where it feels like WandaVision again, right? And it's like, I can't wait to get to this next thing. We needed this. And I feel like Loki has this big burden on its shoulders because it's directly going into the big Avengers movies. So it kind of makes sense that they're getting these like gigantic moments. But the next part of them, our crew, seeing what happened and everybody's like, what do we do? And everybody just stands there and they're like, I don't know. And then Loki says, I don't know. And then destruction.
It was JoJo's early 2000s hit a little too late. It was just too late.
Yeah.
They did all of that for nothing, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they went explodey.
So we still have two episodes left. I did love how, you know, we get that close up of everybody's faces and then we get that final close up of Loki and then it goes to black and we get like 3, 4, 5 seconds of no credits and it's just black. And it's like, that's how you end an episode. What a cliffhanger. But we have two episodes left. We know they're not dead.
Mm.
What happened?
My theory is the next episode is going to be us viewing them in different branches of their lives.
That's exactly my theory.
So like this whole next episode is going to be seeing Mobius on his jet ski, whoever doing something else, maybe Sylvie, you know, with another Thor or something like that. We're going to be seeing them existing. And at the end, somehow they're all going to come back together again.
So here's mine. And it builds off of that. So thinking at the trailers that we have, right? Because I do believe, so I don't know how it works, right? There's a lot of techno babble in this and there's like, okay, exploded, but what does that mean? Those are branches of timelines coming towards them. I don't know what
this
means.
Did the sacred timeline explode?
Yeah,
doesn't that mean that all, like, the MCU doesn't exist? Loki is now the only property in the MCU.
No, I think it exists. It's just there's nothing weaving the stuff into the apparatus to give the TVA power. Weaving it into that because they weren't killing the timelines going into there. It was just weaving them into like a more streamlined thing.
Oh, I just thought it was keeping the timeline stable.
No.
And then by not having it stable, it exploded.
I don't know. I don't know. They didn't say.
The rings?
Yeah, I don't know. But so I do feel like so it reset them. So if you think about the trailers that we've seen, we have Mobius jet skis. He loves jet skis. We have Hunter B-15. She looks like she's a doctor or nurse. She's in a hospital or something. We don't see OB or anybody else. We see Renslayer in the void and we see Casey, and it looks like he's like in a prison.
Mm.
It looks like he might be a felon or something like that. But what I'm thinking happened is they all get put back into their timelines or version of it. The Loki that got pruned, that is time slipping, comes back, and then he has to go and get all of them and bring them back.
Gather the team.
Right? Because like we still haven't gotten the scene of Loki time slipping in front of the jet ski dealership.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he time slipping again?
Yeah.
They pruned the time slipping version of him. What does that mean?
So now Loki is going to prune the Loki who pruned Loki.
Yeah. Why not? I don't know. I mean, so, but then it begs the question of like, what is the state of the TVA, right? Like, what is it still there? where's Brad?
Also, what is Renslayer wanting to do now?
I mean, she might just be full on pissed. I'm still waiting for Renslayer to like get her costume or like her outfit from the comics in some way. I want her to go full on whatever. Mm. But so to piggyback on my theory of where this is all leading, I feel like because of Ouroboros and the whole thing of blah, 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 I'm going to say it so many times these next two episodes. I feel like the multiversal war and the time, like all that is a war that happened, but isn't a war that happened yet for our people. Mm. So the war that's coming is going to be the one that He Who Remains had already talked about. You know what I mean? Like it's just one big loop. And if they're talking about softly rebooting the MCU after Secret Wars, what if the whole MCU is just one time loop? Like what if all the timelines are just some type of time loop and they have to reset at some point? Well, that's just my theory.
I think you've gone above and beyond, Loki.
Did I go OB and Casey with it?
You've gone full sacred timeline and I'm just going, so it didn't blow up. That's where I am.
I mean, yeah, but to what?
But what about the pie?
Yeah.
More about the pie.
Imagine if Winlever, like, it doesn't exist anymore, so we never know.
There are just certain things, like, maybe not the pie so much, but the weird Doc's freaking Brad thing, that was too weird for us to them to not tell us anything.
I don't know. So we have two episodes left. I'm so excited. I'm so excited because I have no idea what the hell is going to happen. I know I just had like an insane theory about everything, but like, how does this end? Like, what exactly is it leading to? We have the Marvels right after this. Like, could that explosion have been the thing that caused the incursion of something else? I don't know. Whatever. There's just so many things.
In the words of Jesse Spano from Saved by the Bell, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared. Because there are so many question marks. And I think that's been a thing with this season is that once every episode ends, you're kind of like, what next?
Right.
Like, what is happening next?
Right.
And here we are again. And the bigger question is, what is this season even leading to?
In the beginning, I kind of mentioned something that like, I hope this season, like really, it like gives a focus of like what the direction of the multiverse saga, multiverse war, like where are we going? Like, that's what I hope. Like, okay, this is where like everything's leading to, right? I also would love it for me to be scared of Kang at some point. Because right at this moment, I am more scared of Miss Minutes than I am of Kang. Mm. And that's only because the Kangs that we've seen have all lost.
When are we going to get the Conqueror?
Which we technically got, but
we just have like Kang and crew.
Like the Ant-Man Kang was scary at times, but he lost. So I'm just like, I'm wanting like...
He was like manipulative scary.
Right.
I want someone to be like ripping people in half.
Well, okay.
Miss Minutes squishing people. He can rip people.
Well, I guess... I guess I want more of his planning, more of the thing that makes him, the thing that like he can't ever be defeated because he can't ever fully go away. Like I'm just wanting more of it. Right. That's what I want. That's what I hope.
I think that is a fair ask.
Yeah. Get on it.
Well, we have two episodes. Let's see what we get.
Oh my God. All right. So next week, episode 5, the penultimate episode.
The penultimate episode. I will not be on the penultimate episode.
Oh my God. Yes. I forgot. So special treat. Sad that you're gone. Special treat.
Roasted.
So Ron, one of our friends, Ron, from POC Culture. If you're not following him, go follow them. Will be on in Derek's place and we will be talking about Loki. I'm very excited because he got screeners for it. So he doesn't even know what's coming. And I'm like, yes.
He's like the rest of us now.
Yeah. You're a normal person now, Ron.
I will be at a library conference. So, I'll be looking at books and stuff.
All right. So next week for me,
I'll see you in 2 weeks for the final episode of Loki.
Goodbye.
Bye.